Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, and once again, I'm kicking it up a notch, having two guests per show. Woohoo! Promote within, promote without. So I'm gonna be like I said, I'll be looking for some interesting guests, and just get a hold of me on Facebook if you got a dream or something out there. Anybody's listening, just write into me, and I'd love to have you as a guest on my show. So here I am, and I'm actually gonna have someone on the show who I've had before. Interesting time we've had film brother Crosby Tatum, homeboy back from Boston, and I'm actually going to be playing one of his songs. We actually had the honor actually being in the video with him in Tricepta Studios. So I shall be right back. This is Feel with Laz and Cat, and I'll be back.
Yeah, Laz Ritz, Cat a B, Miss Smith and Envy, for little 9 y'all, yeah. Yeah, Tricepta's Studio. Check it, yeah, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toasting it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your nine. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant hard on. Yeah, God, it's the way how you touching me. Sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
Ooh, I like the way you always touching on me. Ooh, I like the way you put chills on my body. Ooh, I like the way you always on my mind. Ooh, I like the way how you do it every time. Ooh, ha, ha, ooh, ha, ha, ooh, ha. You just make me feel.
Prime time player, used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jazz. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the blinged up loops plus the lined up hair. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to stare. Living like Liberace with rockets to spare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was definitely a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one on one. What we playing for, she said, I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sunlight.
How can I approach you on this? You make my whole heart to flip. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Book you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel I'm fine. But do this now, don't waste no time.
Welcome to Warrior Wednesdays with Shelly and Chucks on the Shelly and Hook Show with my little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty and little Rocky Balboa. They've given me a little run for my money tonight, and thank goodness they're kind of winding down right now. Man, my allergies and cold is really kicking, so forgive me. I hope I don't sneeze 50 million times. There's definitely something going around up here in Maine. People get pneumonia and colds. It's that time of the year again. Anyway, I'm going to get straight to it. Once again, I am kicking up my show a little notch here with two guests per show. So I'll be going promote. You know, anybody that's a dream out there, get back to me. You want to talk about your dreams? You're welcome to be on my show. Don't worry. I'm really a respectful host, so get back to me and I'll let you talk about your dreams on my show. But anyway, my first guest coming up, I think could be in the queue, waiting very patiently. So let's give me a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Carl. You're on the air.
Hey, Shelly. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Crosby Tatum?
Oh, Crosby Tatum is doing very good. Crosby Tatum is doing very fine. And I'm actually fine to be here on the Shelly and Chuck podcast. So,
oh, thank you. It's such an honor. I always have you on my show, bro.
Oh, definitely. Now, actually, as you know, this is the... How many years has it been since, you know, we've been doing this show together now with the Trifecta Studios family? It's been a... We've been going, you know, all around the entire globe for years. It's amazing.
Yes, and quite a few years. And it's just funny because every time I have you on the show, it's definitely something that, you know, a lot of people like to listen to you on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. We got that little charisma going on.
I wouldn't say it's charisma. I would actually say it's teen spirit. But, you know, saying anything can smell like teen spirit these days. But I'd rather not go into that so much. But,
oh, great. Spider's on my bed. I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, crap. Sorry, Dick Crosby. I'm like, crap. There's a spider running around on my bed. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Crosby. I'm losing it over a spider. I'm sorry. Continue. I'm trying to find this thing. Continue, Crosby.
Spiders. Ugh. Yeah, that's never
Yeah,
good.
No,
you
they're
know,
kind of... Yeah.
you know, I actually had a dream one time that basically I actually had a daddy long leg on my, you know, saying on my bed as I was sleeping. It was crawling up to me, and it just bit me and all this stuff.
Tell me that right now. I'm not gonna be able to go to bed tonight. I'm sorry for interrupting you, Crosby. I'm such a spasm. I'm sorry. I interrupt you. That was so rude. It's just like you just don't even know. It's like, why does this thing have to be in my bed? I'm stripping my bed as you're talking to me. So, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, God. So, well, what have you been up to?
Well, it's been a very busy, crazy year, and, you know, quite honestly, it's just been crazy, as you know. You know, I shot my second feature film, Confused by Love, back in May of this past year, and now, you know, we're finishing up post-production for Inferno Productions' new movie, Christopher Nolan's Zodiac Sign. So.
Oh, yes. He tagged me in that. I think that's the one he tagged me in.
Yeah, he tags a lot of people and stuff, so. You know, but, you know, it's pretty much independent filmmaking at its finest. I've really been busy with just producing and putting together those projects, those films, editing them and also producing them. And with Confused by Love, we were just finished, you know. We're in the middle of doing a special rough cut viewing party that was only, the invite was only to our mailing list subscribers. So it's not really for the public to know about. Actually, I'm not even sure if I should talk about that right now, but, you know. We're just basically doing some things right now to test the movie out, see what we got, and, you know, we're really just trying to gauge our audience and really see what can we do now with Confused by Love. And, you know, the story behind that movie is basically about a book author and his socialite wife who find themselves about to be broke and homeless due to foreclosure, and they invite his old best friend and ex-girlfriend to stay with them for 5 days in the house.
Uh-oh.
And,
there's going to be some trouble. I could just picture the trouble.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I really like this movie, to be honest with you. We was watching it a couple of days ago. I was just watching a cut of it. And I started feeling some type of way about it, to be honest with you, which that doesn't normally happen with my projects. You know what I'm saying? It just takes these... I mean, emotional roller coaster ride, and once you feel that way, it's like, oh wow, we actually got something. Let's do this. Let's definitely do this now.
So now, why you know, how did the before the one with the Zodiac, the film that you're just talking about, the one before that, you were working or are you still working on Confused by Love?
Yes, Confused by Love is in post production. Unfortunately, I had to put that. You know, I had to put that on the back burner to work on Zodiac Sign because that film is actually going to get a theatrical release in the Chicago area, in basically on the week of the 14th to the 16th. I believe it's the 16th to the 20th. It's going to have a 7-day run in Chicago they have this holiday in the Midwest called Sweetest Day. So they're going to have, it's basically like a Hallmark, it's like a Valentine's Day out there or something like that. And actually, for those who are listening on in the Midwest, if you want to tweet me at CrosbyT123 to tell me about Sweetest Day, please do so, because I know nothing about it. So, yeah, Sweetest Day. That's the main thing I learned was that the movie's going to be premiering during the Sweetest Day weekend or something like that. I don't know. But, yeah, we're very excited. Christopher is very excited about this project. Stars Karen Ward Ross, Tangerine Thomas, Timmy Townsend, Carl Anthony Payne from Martin, and just a number of different Black Hollywood stars that are there. Brad James, Timothée Calvert, and Christopher Nolan himself, and just a number of people. It's a pretty good movie.
So when you this movie Zodiac, is it still filming? Did it start filming?
No. The movie's done. We're pretty much wrapping up post production with that as we speak, and the movie's going to premiere in Chicago. And if you go to basically my page, you see a post from Christopher Nolan, Facebook.com/CrosbyT123. You can see a post where Chris has the dates, or you can actually go to Facebook.com/InfernoFilms. That's where Chris is. Post information about the release of Zodiac Sign. That movie's getting released next month.
Oh, sweet. So does it have limited engagements? I mean, do you know any places people can see it? Did they let you know?
Currently, right now, it is going to be shown at Studio Movie Grill Chatham in Chicago, Illinois. That is basically on the south side of Chicago. And for those who are listening in Chicago, you guys know that the movie will start premiering real soon. A trailer will be released possibly this weekend. The trailer is going to get released for that movie. And there's going to be a lot of great things happening for the project. But I know for a fact that second week of October, the movie will be released in Chicago for a 7-day limited run.
Oh, wow. We should get you and Christopher Nolan both back on my show before it's released. You know,
okay,
maybe he can, like, you know, I know he's busy. Maybe he can at least, you know, call in for a half hour. I know everybody's schedule's busy, so it's like it helps promote the film.
Oh, definitely. I'll patch you guys in so that you guys can come on board and, you know, really talk. Because I know for a fact that, like, you know, saying because, you know, we're so closely connected that, you know, he, you know, so he always is a valid supporter with us here at the Try, that, you know, it definitely gets you guys connected and, you know, saying really have a great show. Probably surpass all the, you know, all the other numbers out there, but, you know, saying it's definitely worthwhile. Let's do it. Let's hook it up.
Yeah, that'll be great, because the thing is, when I, like, have the people, it's not just to talk about the film, but people actually who've done the film, you know, people that are part of the film, to get them on the show, because, you know, they're the ones that are involved in the film, you know, especially,
oh, yeah.
Like, it's his film, right? He's the one, it's the Christopher Nolan film, right?
Yes, it is.
Because I think that would be great. We get him on the show, have him on the show. I don't know if any other actors... You know, we can set this up if any of the actors that are part of the film, you know, say, like I said, I know everybody's schedule is really busy, but maybe they can call in for a few minutes, say hi, you know, if they asked in blah, 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 this and that, you know, people that are part of the film, have them call in.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, saying also another person we could definitely get involved is Mark Harris. He's actually, he has his movie Stock Option that stars Angelique Thomas and, also, Tasha Smith, and you know, a number of other stars that he's actually going to be premiering at the Nashville Black Film Festival, and he's also running the Inglewood Film Festival in Chicago, which is in late October. So Mark Harris, he's another great person to you know, really you know, get, you know, talk about with his films as well. Just get him involved with doing the podcast as well. Get some stars involved as well with that. So, you know, say we'll see, and, you know, we'll definitely get that going.
Nice. This will be nice. And what else have you been working on? You've been working out quite a lot, right?
Working out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I've always, you know, training, you know, with USC Fit for the most part, like a, you know, a home workout system. because you know, it's been a while since I haven't done mixed martial arts training. I'm actually thinking about getting back into it next year, for the most part. It's just these schedules of just producing these movies and, you know, doing all these things. It's just, you know, been it's kind of like, you know, been like, you know, saying it's not impeding my process, but really it's taking a lot of time with me just to put these movies together. And, you know, I'm very fortunate and blessed to know ever since we've done Surprise, Surprise, I've been involved in over now 6 to 7 different feature films now.
Wow. And so, like, I mean, how do you, if you don't mind me asking, because I'd really want to know some secrets and stuff, you know, even to help out myself, because I'm at a point where I made contacts and stuff, and I know everybody does and stuff too. How do you, like, even for, like, a photo shoot I'm trying to do where I had a model on my show, and there's a photo shoot that I want to do with, like, exotic animals, and it's a Star Wars Donnie Yen kind of theme, any, you know, anything with film stuff, and unless somebody gets something in return or whatever, I mean, how can you get people to donate money? I mean, I'm great at helping other people, like, when I helped with you, right? It kind of, you know, asking people to help donate. Remember we had the show and people were donating, you know, live on the air to your thing. For myself, I seem I cannot raise money for myself to do anything. I'm great at helping others. I mean, what advice can you give for me?
Right. And honestly, like, you know, and I'm glad you spoke about that because honestly, it's actually the 3-year anniversary of that show, believe it or not. like, literally, I still recall that, you know, that was the day that, you know, we got all the money. But honestly speaking, it starts with your following. It starts with your following, starts with your website. Got to have a website. You know, so you need to have a great email list. You got to have an email list that that's the first thing I start with when it comes to marketing is that got to have a built-in email list where you're getting a lot of good responses from people. And that they're following you every step of the way. First and foremost, you know, your project, what's the end result? You know, if me and you were in a meeting right now, Shelly, I would talk with you and I would say, Shelly, what is the end result of your project? Where are people going to see this at? You, and what would your answer be?
Well, it would be, I think, on social media. Like, I know what you're saying about the website. I've been trying to design that. Because for myself, I mean, I don't know how you ended up growing so much because I made networking stuff, but I'm still doing, you know, after 10 years, I'm still doing everything. I mean, I'm thankful I have, like, listeners and supporters on the show, but as far as running everything, I'm running everything myself. Like, I don't know how, because everybody's doing their own thing.
Shelly, let me stop you right there. All right, love you, but as Chris would talk to me about things, I'm about to do the same thing to you. Well, I'm about to give you some tough love.
Okay. All
right. I'm about to give you some tough love. You might not like what I'm about to say. I might piss you off, but I'm doing this for you. Okay.
Okay.
One, there is no direction from what I'm sensing from you. You need direction. You need a clear cut plan as to where you want to go, the end result. If what you say about this photo shoot with these animals is the end result, you got to know what your end result is first before anything else. You know what? When I was talking with Surprise, Surprise, or with Confused by Love, my end result is always distribution, front and center, VOD, in theaters for a small run, and also DVDs and video on demand, possibly even a festival premiere, because that's the first thing I thought about when I wrote that script a year ago. Secondly, I need to know my audience. What is my audience? You say animals, people with animals? Okay, let's find people who like animals, lions and tigers and all this other jazz. You basically have to know what is my audience and where am I going to find that audience. Where are those guys? Are they, like, you know, on Zoos? Are they on Zoo mailing list? Are they on this? Are they on that? You got to find where it's at. So basically, one is you got to know where your direction is. Two, you need to go and understand who my audience is, and three, where can I find my audience, and number four, how am I going to reach my audience? You say social media and all this other stuff, but honestly, you need a website in order to get that so that you can do social media, so that basically you do that, all that other stuff. It's basically the who, what, when, where, and how. It's basically what it is. You know what I'm saying? And basically, you got to have a team. You got to find people who believe in your vision. You got to make sure your vision is clear. And this is for anybody who's trying to do something. You know, you got to understand that when you're creating a project or any type of entrepreneurial endeavor, you got to understand that you have to have a vision to communicate it effectively for your team. And basically, this is trial and error. And when you come to the point where it feels like it ain't working, you need to change something. Because if you don't change it, it's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna do any favors. It's not gonna go anywhere. I was fortunate, to be honest with you, in that same boat. But at the same time, I think with everybody, whether it's artistic, business minded, if something is not working, you need to change what's not working so that it can work for the future. And so with me, I always had that in mind, that end in sight. And here's a funny thing. My email list, I can boast and say that we have 1,500 subscribers in our email list that we send out, you know, periodically throughout the year. I started building that over the years. And it started with my friends. It started with my people. It started with you. It started with, you know, just me saying, okay, I need to build this list up. Because honestly, that's the way I want to reach the people. It's direct communication with the people. So, you know,
the thing is, what I'm thinking of, because like I have this, and it's like I already know, like it's rough out there, and it's like I kind of know people have said like. It's kind of like people can have dreams and stuff, but if it's not giving, if somebody's not getting something out of it, it's never going to work for that person. Like, it's kind of like, do you know what I'm saying? I don't think they're interested in what I want to do. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like if they're not getting if they're not getting something out of it, people aren't going to be interested in it.
So, honestly, why? Why even bother with them? That's I think like there's a problem with people as in terms of, you know, if somebody is not, you know, all in with you, you know, saying that's where feelings get hurt. But this is business, you know, saying if somebody's not all in with you, you just gotta just say, okay, we're not all in. Let's just, you know, go our separate ways, and we'll find, and then let's find somebody who is going to be all in with you, who believes in you, who supports you all the way through, and you know. And Shelly, I love you. Bottom line, the dishwasher should have been done a long time ago. Way more done than a long time ago.
No, I know. I can't find people that want to shoot it. Because I have an executive producer. I've been talking to people, camera people, and the things that have been happening. Like every time I go to talk to a film person, right, camera guy, everyone seems interested. But it's like they have this ulterior motive. Like one of these guys, I won't say who he is, one of the last guys ended up turning around saying, well, I want to hook you up with other people. And I'm like, dude, I was talking to you. And he's like, I was like, okay, I'll hear this. And he wanted me to go to the school to talk to these other people. And I'm like, you like my idea first. And it's kind of like they wanted me to go to these classes and stuff, but I'm getting ready to shoot. I says, all I want is a camera guy. I know exactly what my vision, but it's like all of a sudden they're like, they're trying to have some ulterior motive to get something else out of it.
Okay, Shelly, let me stop you all right here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a first, you know what I'm saying, because what we have here is basically a situation where fear takes over ourselves. But honestly, I'm here to tell each and every one of you guys listening all over the globe, fear is nothing more than false evidence appearing to be real. That's what fear is. And honestly, we get this all the time. I get it constantly every day. But you know what blocks why, you know, how I'm able to do what I'm able to do is because you just say, F fear, drink your dreams. I was going to say, F fear, drink beer, but, you know.
Well, there's another thing too, Crosby, because there's something that's been happening, and I'm like, I just try to move on, and it's like to do a photo shoot, like, especially around here. Okay, now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this as a guy. Maybe you have. I mean, it can happen. When I'm trying to do, I've been trying to talk to, it's mostly a lot of guys that are photographers, you know, and it's like I've talked with them, and I wanted to do a crow photo shoot and talk to photographers, and it's like the things that have been happening, and I'm like, they won't shoot me unless I take my clothes off. And I've been having this problem. Every single photographer, and I'm like, this is disgusting, and I'm like, I don't know who to go to that I can actually really rely on because it's the same results all the time. And I'm just like,
have you considered a female photographer?
I actually looked into someone before, and the thing that happened, because there was, this is an example, the last time I took to a female, it's like, I mean, I keep trying to contact people, and it seems like everything seems cool at first, but all of a sudden, then something gets flipped, and I'm like, where is this coming from? This is not what we discussed in the beginning. Like, Dawn the Dragon Wilson, they sent me T-shirts from Traditions, right, which is the T-shirts which I put on my Facebook page. I have them on there, and all I need is just in the gym where I work out is go there, take pictures in that. So I had this woman, and, you know, I says, we can do this. You figure it'd be good. It's Dawn the Dragon Wilson, international kickboxer for the portfolio, right? So then nothing after it was like, I says, well, we can do this. After a while, she came back and said she wanted money for it. I says, where is this coming from? I thought it was going to be like a trade. So it's like, I can understand if people want money, they talk about it in the beginning because it's like we're getting ready to do a shoot or something. Then they turn around and say, oh, I want to get paid for it. I'm like, well, where is this coming from? Do you know what I'm saying? I understand about professionalism, but if people are just starting out and they only done a couple of shoots and not a lot, then how does that, do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, how do you flip that?
Well, go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm like, because what I think I'm going to have to do is I don't know where I'm going to get the money from, but if I want a professional photographer, I'm going to have to end up paying for what I want. Except the thing is, I don't know if I have to get a credit card to get the money to do it. Because it's something where people that, like, I figure are just starting out as photographers, that this is a good opportunity for them who they don't have that much experience, right? This is what I'm thinking of. And I don't have a lot of money, so I figure a trade. And you mentioned Dawn the Dragon Wilson, and like, oh, this and that. It's like, I want to get paid, but they don't have that much experience. And I says, well, if I'm going to pay someone, I'm going to look for a professional photographer. But I never have that extra money, so I'm like, I need to pull money in from somewhere. If everything is about money, which I know it's a business. It's entertainment is a business. But I don't know where to get the money for unless I'm going to sleep with someone, sell a kidney, sell my eggs. I mean, you know, I'm trying to be funny because it's like trying to, how do I get money? That's the thing, bro. How do you get money?
Honestly? This is a problem a lot of entrepreneurs think. It's not necessarily about the money. It's really about finding the right people who are willing to contribute their time and their energy towards your vision that will benefit them for the future. Now, if money, you know, first and foremost, in this matter, in this situation, a lot of, you know, saying newcomers or first-time entrepreneurs or first-time, you know, project handlers, content creators, basically, first of all, Shelly, you're sounding very desperate. You can't sound desperate. That's the first. That's the first. If you want to basically do this photo shoot and basically you're coming off with a sense of desperosity, then it becomes an issue that manifests itself that people will take advantage of you for that. First and foremost, you know, if I was you in this situation and if I didn't have any money at all to handle the matter and basically I wanted to do this shoot, I would have that person sign a contract, number one, saying, hey, look, this is pro bono. This is basically for your portfolio and also for my, and also for basically the end result of what I'm looking to do. I will have, you know, say in the photos, we will share these off. You'll have these images for your portfolio, and I'll have these images to share for my portfolio as well. We work off of that. There's common trade. The minute that you ask, the basically, you know, saying, once all the stuff is up front at the first, at the jump, there shouldn't even be an issue. Then that person's obligated to come through, and they must fulfill that contract. A lot of mistakes a lot of filmmakers, a lot of, you know, content creators or artists make is basically a lot of basically being business savvy. It's basically realizing that, hey, you have to do something per an agreement that has been stated between you and them, and it must be written so that there is evidence of that situation. You know what I'm saying? Money's not everything here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you straight off the bat. You know what I'm saying? And I know this for a fact because, you know, honestly speaking, what I made surprise for, I made that movie for $2,500. Most of that money that we came out of the end of that movie, that came out of my pocket that I had. And basically, I had to screw myself out of a lot of different situations to basically finish that movie off. But I was willing to do it. I basically looked into every resource I could possibly get in order to make that project happen. Whether it was a payday loan, whether it was this, whether it was that, it didn't matter. Because if you really want it, you'll do whatever you got to do. You know, short of selling yourself or short of, you know, anything that contradicts, you know, your personal or your spiritual, physical beliefs, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? If there's basically an option out there that can serve as the way to basically make it, then, you know what I'm saying, go for it. That's cool. You know, we're all for that. So, you know what I'm saying? And if anybody wants to really talk about it more with me, just follow me, CrosbyT123. On Twitter and at Instagram and also on Facebook, facebook.com/CrosbyT123. You know what I'm saying? Money is really not all that's cracked up to be. And honestly, you know what I'm saying? It's real, you know what I'm saying? Number one, you got to budget, you know, your project. Got to budget, got to schedule it. Say that, okay, this is how much my project costs and this is how much, this is, you know, the days that we are going to do it. Time and money is the most important thing in this business. If you don't have time, you don't have money. If you don't have money, you don't have time. They go. It's a catch-22. They basically go hand in hand. And actually, I'm going to put you onto a little secret that I was able to raise $8,000 on Indiegogo. Check out this website. It's called greeninbox.com. And now the internet explodes. You're welcome. Check that out, greeninbox.com. It's a great website where basically if you have a project, it can allow you to be able to reach everyone that is in your social media network and also with your email marketing and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? Check that site out. It should definitely help out. It should reach out to, you know, your followers everywhere on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, your emails, you know, everywhere. So check that out. Thank us later. It's all good. And, you know, saying, yes, the internet has exploded because I let you guys in on a personal secret of mine for that. Looking to do crowdfunding. But, you know what I'm saying, personally speaking, I would look into if you need to do something personal, try to get a credit card. If you can't get a credit card, try to get a personal loan. If you got bad credit, try to get a personal loan. If you're really desperate to do it, that's what I would do. I would not even try or even think about, I wouldn't even really think about just trying to, you know, I would actually put myself at risk rather than use anyone else's money, put that at risk. And if it doesn't turn out great, then I have to answer to those people. I'd rather put myself at risk first than anything else. You know what I'm saying? Cool. That's just me. But
yeah.
I just want to let everyone know that, like, if anyone's in this type of bind, like, and honestly, I was in this bind a couple years ago because I didn't know what I was going to do. It's just to do it. you know, the great filmmakers of this time and age, all they would say is just shoot your movie. Just find a way to make it happen. Lock down a date. This movie is going to happen on this day, this second, and there's nothing that's going to stand in my way to make this happen. Even if I don't have the money at the 11th hour, I'm still going to make this happen. You know, don't stop all this doom and gloom, this gloating. Stop all this bull crap. You know what I'm saying? Because honestly speaking, it's demoralizing, and honestly, you're doing yourself a disservice, and you're putting yourself into a rut that you don't even want to get out of. You know what I'm saying? Just stop it. Stop all that. You know.
This is okay.
Over.
I get. You know, I actually have a caller calling in, Crosby. I was like, we could go all night. I think you still got a few minutes left here, so hold on one second. Do not go anywhere. I don't mean to interrupt you. Let me pull someone. Hold on for a sec.
Cool, because I'm going to Wendy's. So
you're going to Wendy's? Okay, I want some french fries. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Crosby, I swear to goodness, you are a godsend. Everything you have just said to this woman, I have been preaching to her ad nauseum for the last 2 years. I said, you know, who's going to believe in your movie if you don't believe in it yourself?
Agreed.
You know, because that's what I said to her. I was like, every time you open your mouth, you're like, I was like, I don't want to hear it anymore because of the fact that you are dictating to the universe what you expect, and what you expect is a big but, an excuse, something. And, you know, you said something that really hit me, and that's why I'm like, I have got to call in. Because one of the things that, Shelley, you said, everybody wants something. There's an ulterior motive. That's human nature. Do you go, when you go to the movies, you pay your $10, $5 to go to the movies, what do you expect out of it?
A cool film.
Thank you. So do you give them $10 and just walk away and then say, oh, it's all good, brother, you can keep the money. I don't really need to see nothing. I don't need nothing in return.
That's the fact of life.
What I keep telling you. The thing is, honestly, Crosby, what you hit on is about using other people's money. The way it is, Shelley, is if you're not willing to risk your last penny on your project, what makes you think that a total stranger is going to want to invest their money? Because they get the bribe off of you. They understand that. Crosby, you know how I feel about you, brother, because you have been an amazing example to me because of the fact that I remember the struggles. I know what you've been through. I've seen your story play out. But you never took no for an answer. No matter how many other people said no, you're like, okay, you're saying no, next. Oh, you said no, next, until you found someone to either help you or you did it yourself.
Right.
And that's something that's so true. Like, you just hit everything you just said just pumped me up 1,000 times more because it's everything that I have been saying not only to Shelley, but in general. If you're not willing to go the extra mile for your project, and it doesn't have anything to do with a credit card, it doesn't have to do with needing a loan or having extra money or crappy credit, has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the work ethic. Because if you're not finding the people that are willing to work on your project, then you're talking to the wrong people. You're just gravitating to the wrong people.
Yeah.
And your attitude will dictate the people that will gravitate to you. Because if you have a negative attitude where it's excuse, the people that, like Crosby or myself or other people, are going to get turned off by that. And then you're going to wind up with a bunch of other excuse-ridden people, which is why the project isn't getting done. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I just don't think anyone around here wants to do it.
It does. No. There's people that want to do it. The thing is, you're afraid of your own success. Like Crosby said it right now, you have self-sabotaged yourself. It doesn't matter if you live in East Bumfreak. In East Bumfreak, you can make a movie happen. And you know Big Brother Bill has done it. Big Brother Bill in Little Inky Dinky, Maine, near Portland, has put himself on the map because he's an overnight success. Right, a 20-year overnight success. Someone that has, you know, struggled financially, that has been ill, that has dealt with, you know, debilitating illnesses, never used it as an excuse. He made it happen because he surrounded himself with the right people.
Yeah. Any more? Hey, Crosby? Any advice for me?
Shirley, I would also say this. I know you like one of your favorite movies is Hitch, right? Well, Will Smith
Hitch?
And Kevin James, right? Hitch.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
There's a scene. It's near the end of the movie where basically Kevin James basically walks up to Will Smith and he asks basically, do you believe in your product? You know what I'm saying? It's like you're doing all the salesmanship, but you don't believe in what you're saying. You have interviewed countless people who have been, you know, saying who are successes, but yet you don't believe in your success for yourself. It's time to change all that. You know what I'm saying? You know, at this moment, I want you just to just say to yourself right now, say, in fact, you can even say it over the air. You can say that I am somebody and I will get this project done on this date, at this time, at this hour, no matter what.
So,
you can't say it right now. It's all good.
No,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? I want you to say it. I want you to say it right here. Bring it to me. Bring it to me, home girl.
Okay, what do you want me to say again? I'm a turd. Okay, what?
I want you to say, I am somebody. Repeat after me. I am somebody.
I am somebody.
I believe in myself.
I believe in myself.
And I will get the dishwasher done.
And I will get the dishwasher done.
Or rather, I will get the dishwasher in production.
I will get the dishwasher in production.
On my start date.
On my what?
On my start date, which is next year. Whatever date you want.
I can't even think of a date.
I'm going to give you a date. On May 5th, 2016, I will have the dishwasher in production.
Was it May 5th?
Yes, May 5th, 2016, I will have the dishwasher in production. No excuses, no nothing.
Okay, on May 5th, 2016, I will have the dishwasher in production, no excuses.
Great. Now, this was just recorded over live radio. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I just did there, right, Shelly?
I'm in trouble.
Yeah. It is now September 23rd, 2015, you have exactly 8 months to get this movie in production. No excuses, no nothing. This is how I made Surprise and Confused by Love. What I said over the phone to my boy Laz, I said, look, September 30th, 2012, this movie's going into production no matter what. And I'm willing to risk everything to make it happen. Same with Confused by Love. May 5th, 2015. That was the day I shot that movie. For a whole week, 6 days, nonstop. And I didn't have really all the money to shoot the movie with, but we still made it through. You know why? Because I never took no for an answer, and I believed in what I wanted to do, and there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We just did it. We made it happen. Now you're on the cuff with it. You guys, this is your chance, this is your opportunity, and now you just need to take it, seize it, move with it, everything, Shelly. You know what I'm saying? For successful people, there are no excuses. No excuses.
No excuses.
Somebody give me my tea right now.
Give me what? I'm sorry, what'd you say, Crosby?
Somebody get me my tea. I'm about to drop this mic right now.
True. There's no excuse whatsoever. Especially Shelley, the hardest part for you was finding an executive producer. You already got that.
Yeah.
So it's all a matter of you getting the fuzz out of your head and putting the production together. That's it. Done. Throws mic, walks away like he said. You're done. No excuse.
Check out this website, filmmakingstuff.com. Has some great resources about how to get your movies made, and also filmspecific.com. That's a really great website in terms of how to, you know, get movies funded. I actually listen to a lot of the podcasts with Stacey Parks in terms of basically, you know, say the financing aspects of getting your movie done. And honestly, I would go on that website since I joined in 2011, and I would just bitch about, you know, say, oh, this movie's not getting done, and all this other stuff. And the reality of some of the post that we were making was that they were just saying, just shoot the movie. Don't worry about it. Just do it. You're not going to make any money. You're not going to get any stars. Just do the movie. I mean, believe it or not, who am I to put money into your movie when you haven't even done a movie?
Thank you.
You gotta do
Thank
it.
You.
That's exactly what she said. By the way, who's the caller who just called in?
It's Charlie.
Of course, Charlie. I knew it was just you.
Yeah. You should have known it.
No, it's just, you know, probably it's true. It's like you can either make excuses or you can make moves. I mean, the way I look at it nowadays, if you really want to make your movie, you get three of your friends, you get a freaking Android or an iPhone, and you make yourself a movie, so at least you say, I did this damn movie. And then later on, you can redo it.
Exactly.
There's no excuses.
You know, he made Tangerine off his iPhone 5.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying?
What? What was that?
Jay DePlus.
He made his movie on an iPhone.
Who did?
Tangerine.
Who? Who made a film on iPhone?
His name is Jay DePlus. And he was actually selected in Sundance for his movie Tangerine.
Mm-hmm.
Usually shot all on the iPhone 5. And he actually had a limited theatrical release, believe it or not, by the Weinsteins, I believe. I think it was Weinstein or Roadside Attractions that really did that release. But you know what I'm saying? You know, that's really where it comes down to. It just comes down to it didn't even matter. I shot my movie on a Canon 7D. That was a camera I owned for like, you know, a couple of years or whatever. You know. It doesn't matter how you shoot your project. You just go and shoot your project. It doesn't matter what happens. You just go and do it.
Exactly.
You know, like I said, excuses are for those who don't really care about what they want to do. And honestly, I care so much about what I want to do because I believe in my talent and my ability that I am going to pursue something and do it no matter what. It's how the greats become great. That moment where basically they don't have it. They haven't seen any. It's that moment where basically they feel like all is lost, and then basically there's, you know, they just say, "Enough is enough. I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to go."
It is, because you get to a point where a lot of people don't accomplish things in life because they think it's too much work or it's going to hurt. But if you get to a point where it hurts more not to do it because it's killing you inside slowly, not going after your dreams. And until you get to that point, you're going to continue to make excuses till you're blue in the face.
Hmm.
Exactly. And honestly, here's the thing. Since 2012, I've been involved in at least 4 to 5 different feature films as a co-producer, as an editor, as a director, and as a writer. Since then. And,
mm-hmm.
and if you look at my IMDb page, you'll find that I'm co-producing, editing, and directing a number of other features, like 6 or 7 of them listed. I don't know how many I listed since then. When I didn't, I only had like one credit on there since that time. And that was because I had this mindset of, I want to be the Pharrell of filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I want to be that guy that basically is nonstop in the business, like a Pharrell or a Ryan Leslie or a Swiss Beatz. You know what I'm saying? They were involved in other projects. But, you know what I'm saying, when you knew it was their project, you knew who it was them.
Right, exactly. And yes, exactly. Exactly. And to me, you know, it's funny you say that, Crosby, because to me, you can sit there and complain about the fact that there aren't roles for women like me or my age or this, or you can go out and write them. Or you can go out and produce them. Or you can go out and create them. And that's why since I've only started seriously acting since 2008. That's it. That was my first time on a Hollywood set where they cast me in Edge of Darkness. That, to me, I was like a bright-eyed little girl going, oh, my God. But then I saw the inner makings. I didn't sit there and bitch and complain about the fact that my part got cut. And no, I learned. I learned. The 31 days I spent on that set, you don't see me in the movie at all. But those 31 days that I spent on set would have taken me 8 years of college to even come close to getting that experience. But that's because I chose to look at it that way. I saw it as a life lesson and an experience for me. And I have taken that experience, and that's what has helped me to my IMDb credits. Like you talk about it, it's gone to, you know, award-winning writing. It's gone to tactical training. It's gone to being an advisor on set. It's gone to being a co-writer, co-producer. So the whole thing of it is that you need to expand yourself. And I could have sat there, because I'm not going to lie to you, I remember many a day sitting and holding with women complaining about the fact that, oh, they don't write parts for women in their 40s and 50s. It's only background. It's only this. It's only that. I'm like, well, there's the internet. There's independent projects. So my theory was this. Well, I'd rather be acting in something where I'm furthering my education than holding my nose up at something that's independent or not paid, because there are people that are willing to pay $400 for acting lessons but won't work in an independent project because they're only going to feed them and don't pay them. You know what I'm saying? You can't get that experience at an acting class, for me personally, because now, fast forward to 2015, I have enough material for a reel. I have enough material that I could say, look, this is what I've done. I can show people that someone took a chance on me and let me write a web series episode, and it won an award. So it's like, okay, so she can write. So you make the opportunities if you're willing to look for it. If all you're going to look for is people that don't want to help you or don't want to do anything, that's all you're going to find. Or you can be like Crosby, where he says, you know, I'm going to make my opportunities and I'm going to learn every bit of this business inside out, upside and back, because you have to.
And you have to be willing to travel. You have to be willing to go to places to even make it happen. And, you know,
What's the cell phone? I was like, I think it's getting into the second hour. I mean, Crosby, I need to have you back on my show because you need to school me. I got to have you guys. Charlie, you have to call in again. And Crosby, you guys get put live on there. School me. School me. So.
Honestly, the only school is the school of hard knocks. Because honestly, the only school that you got to go through is just to go and do it. You know what I'm saying? My opportunities, I had to go all the way from Boston to Los Angeles to Chicago to New York. I went everywhere to make it happen. You could do the same.
Absolutely.
This is for anybody who's you know, stuck in a rut. Make an opportunity, make your way. You know, say, don't worry about anything else. Have tunnel vision. Just make it your way. That's it. I'm done. You know, say, hey, somebody give me my drink. Go make it my game.
Okay. All right, Crosby. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being on my show.
By the way, we got just a couple plugs. Reviewsfilm.com. Mm-hmm. Check us out. Sign up for our mailing list, and also just also follow me on Twitter, Facebook at CrosbyZ123. That's where you can find me. And also just please follow us. And also Inferno, Facebook.com/InfernoFilms. Look out for Christopher Nolan's Zodiac Sign, starring Karen Wood, Ross, Andrea Thomas, Jamie Townsend, Carly Kane, Brad James, Timmy Calderon, and a bunch of other stars. Everyone on board, Chicago, Boston, New York, L.A. represent. Let's get some more movies. Let's do it, baby.
Well, thank you, Crosby. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, and I look forward to having you on my show again.
Indeed. Shout out to the Confused by Law. Try to see you. Surprise, surprise, family. Love y'all.
All righty. Crosby, have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Sally, you still there?
I am, and I just have to say you needed that.
Yes, I did. Because I get like a spazioleo, and I like, you know, I have a brain fart, and sometimes it lasts for weeks, and I get stuck, and I'm like, I don't know how to, like, how can you say get over that hump? You know, it's just
because you
like...
put yourself in that hump. You can look at it as a hump, or you could say, you know what, I'm going to climb this hill and get some cardiovascular in. There's no excuse, you know. It's that thing that you need to stop making excuses and making it happen. And the thing is, the reality is, at the end of the day, I've always told you, people will gauge you or judge you, or not so much judge you, will size you up by what you're saying. And if every time you open your mouth, the word but, or I coulda, or I wanna, but you don't do, there's one thing of wanting to do, and there's one thing to actually do it. And the thing is, to make it happen, you just get up and you do it. Like when you were making the videos, you were doing these little video things. You could do that with, hey, Charlie, come up to Maine and this one and that, and we're going to do a trailer for the dishwasher on an iPhone, 30 seconds, and guess what? Now you have something to show. The thing is, if you sit there till everything is in perfect order for you to get a project done, then nothing would have ever been done in this world. Because look at Bill Gates, look at Steve Jobs, the ones that created the iMac and the Microsoft operating systems. Bill Gates didn't even own the operating system. Steve Jobs didn't even have a clue what the heck he was doing at that time. But he knew it was going to go there, and he said, I'm going to keep working on it. But he believed in it so much that he sold it before he had the invention finalized. That's
oh,
all
wait,
it is.
Wait, didn't Steve Jobs, wasn't he the one who had the company, and they fired him, and he's the one who started the company or something? Didn't
yeah, they,
like
he started the company,
him?
They fired him, and guess what? He had to come back because he had the magic touch. And he's passed away since then, but he left a legacy. That doesn't mean that he was a good person in through and through, but the point is the belief system. You have to have that belief system in yourself, or you will continue to make excuses forever. Because you could be,
yeah,
the reality
you're right.
is, you know, because the reality is, Shell, you could be dumped down into a $10 million mansion right now with a $50,000 car, $100 million in the bank, everything at your disposal, and trust me, if you are an excuse-based person and self-sabotaging, you will still find a reason not to do what you want to do. Because right now the excuse is that you don't have money. That has been your excuse. That is a lie that people have sold you since you were a young kid, that you can't do something because you need money. And that's a lie. It's an absolute bold-faced lie because worst-case scenario, you can go to your local access channel. If you want it bad enough, you put your butt on a bus, go to Portland, go to the access channel. They will teach you how to use the equipment. They will let you use the equipment for free or for $40, $30 a lesson, and you can have your own talk show. You can do your own movie because I've seen other people do it. Kid that I work with, Seth Chidwood, not for nothing, he's 23 years old. He started filming when he was 16. And at 16, he said, I wrote a script, I want to do a show, and he got his friends from high school to help him out with it, and that show turned into the series Red Circle, and it went on to win several awards at the LA Web Fest. And he's gone on to now that he's, like I said, 23 years old, and he doesn't have a million resources. He knows how to work the contacts that he's made. He knows how to be able to market it to get the money he needs to get the project sent. But the key word that he has is work ethic. That child has work ethic because sometimes he'll hit me up at 1 in the afternoon or we'll be talking at 3 in the morning and he's just on point, getting the script written, getting revised, getting the right people that he needs there. And the thing is, the reason people want to keep working with him is because when he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And 90% of the material that I have for my reels come from a 23-year-old young man.
Hmm.
So you can make excuses or you can make it happen.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What was that? I think I heard of that story. I didn't remember the film, but what was the cell phone where you can actually film? What would you say, iPhone?
Any phone can film. The new iPhone, even the iPhone 5, but the iPhone 6 has an HD capacity camera. And this gentleman, this this director, he went out and he filmed his full-length featured film entirely on an iPhone, and it is now being featured. I think this year it was at the Sundance Film Festival.
Oh, okay. I'm like.
So the technology now is getting impossible, and the thing is that that film blew everybody's mind because it's like, you're serious. And it wasn't even an iPhone 6. He filmed it on an iPhone 5S. A 5S, which, you know, director Sean Baker, it's the movie's called Tangerine, and it's being picked up by Magnolia Pictures. But the thing is that he took a $200 iPhone. It's, you know, it would be more, but let's say, you know, I paid $100 for my iPhone because it's on Sprint. And he took that little iPhone that's in my hand that I'm paying freaking, you know, free sell on. He made a full feature-length film, got it submitted into Sundance, and now got picked up by Magnolia Pictures, and it's going to be in the movie theaters entirely on an iPhone. Tell me right
that's
now off the top of the head, off the top of your head, how many people do you know that have iPhones?
I honestly don't know.
You probably,
if
you go to work tomorrow and just say, I have homework. How many of y'all have an iPhone? Guaranteed at least four or five people will raise your hand. You now have five camera angles for your movie.
Man, I'm getting one myself now. You got me all excited. iPhone.
The thing is, and the quality is insane. I mean, come on. If you really want the movie that badly, you make it on an iPhone. You make it whatever.
Okay.
And trust me, if the movie is good and there's an appeal there, people will come forward to help you, or you will find a way to add credibility to you as a filmmaker. Like, I'll give you an example. A few years ago, a Christian movie was made called Facing the Giants. They made this movie for like $30,000. They had a fundraiser, and this church wanted to make this movie. Is it the greatest movie on earth? No. Is the script the greatest script in the world? No. Are the actors the best actors in the world? Hell no. But the thing was that when you brainwave something and they brainwave that they wanted this movie to go somewhere, what made it for them was the fact that they got a PG rating. It was specifically filmed to be a G-rated movie so anybody could go see it. The rating board gave it a PG because there was reference in the movie about infertility and medical issues in that sense. So now there was a big uproar where, you know how social media works, somebody mentioned it got picked up, and they're saying, how is it that a Christian movie that doesn't show anything is getting a PG rating? That was the best thing that happened to them, because that's how people found out about it. And word of mouth. They wind up making more than triple what they put into it. As a result of that, they came back and made another movie called Fireproof. Now they had $1 million budget. They made triple that. And they have another one coming out now. So the reality is that where there was a will, there was a way. And the reality is, if you need $1,000 to make your movie, all you need is 1,000 people to give you a dollar. That's it, a dollar. But if you're thinking about this huge amount of money in your mind that you think $1,000 is, then you're right, it is a huge amount of money. And you're right, you can find people with cameras. And you're right, you're constantly going to be right. And I'll give you an example. You know who that person was that was going to originally film your movie. I know him as well. This is a very busy, professional person who has a lot of really professional connections and is doing a lot, like career-wise. And the reality is, Shelley, that some people don't have the time to be sitting around for someone that's making excuses. They're the do-it crowd. Like me, mm-hmm. like a couple of other people that you know. And you know how frustrating it is when you want to get something done and it drags on and on and on and on because it never gets done. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you need to realize that what's frustrating to you is frustrating to other people as well, especially go-getters, especially people that are going places and doing things. The people that aren't doing anything are the ones that are like, oh, sure, you can't do it this week, we'll do it next week. Or, yeah, no problem. Or they keep making excuses and rescheduling because they don't know their butt from their elbow, so they have no clue of how they're going to do this.
Hmm.
On the other hand, the people that are doers, they want to get it done. Like, I was on the phone. I worked all day yesterday. Mel was working all day yesterday. He had to be up at 5 this morning, and we were on a conference call at 3:30 this morning with Seth, the director I was telling you about, because we're co-writing the script with him for one of his episodes on his web series. That's how it is, and guess what? Mel went to bed at 3:45, and his butt still got up at 5 in the morning to go to work, and I got up to go do what I needed to do, and I've been up ever since. So it's a matter of how bad you want it. You can sleep when you're dead. You can make excuses when you're dead.
Yeah. You just had me, you just put a thought into my head.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to get an iPhone.
There you go.
But the point is, you know what?
Right. But the reality is, Shelley, that the iPhone is only as good as the mm-hmm. person behind it. That iPhone can be the best friend, or you can have mm-hmm. a $600 piece of equipment that you're going to play free sell on. You still have to do the work. And sitting there expecting everybody else to do the work for you isn't going to work. It's not. The reality is it doesn't. And for anybody listening out there, I'm not only talking to Shelley, I'm talking to all of you. It's not going to happen. You need to make the work. If you seriously think that you want to make your dreams come true as a musician, an actor, a writer, a producer, a director, a nurse, a doctor, whatever you want to do, and if you think that once you find that one person that's going to work with you, they're going to work with you. They're not going to do it for you. You should be the one that's up at 3 in the morning getting lists ready of how you want to get the production done. You should be the one that's going to bed at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning finding actors that will work on your project, doing the blocking, checking out the schedule, making sure props are in place, making sure that you figure out how to feed this food or these people, or letting them know, I can't feed you right now, but, you know, we'll chip in for a pizza. The point is that anything can happen if you're willing to work it. But if all you do is sit back and make excuses and think how huge this thing is, you know, like the joke goes, how do you eat an elephant? A spoonful at a time. There's an expression that says, how do you eat an elephant? Because it's so huge. You eat him one spoon at a time. One spoon at a time. No matter what big obstacle you have in life, you deal with it one spoonful at a time. And it will happen. Hmm. Trust me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking that. See, sometimes you're going to kick my butt.
It's the reality, because you get you it's you know you and I and a lot of people out there, the reason they don't make their dreams a reality is because they're still thinking about all the lies that were told to them. You come from the wrong side of town. You were born into the wrong place. You don't have the right height, the right weight, the right face, the right hair, the right voice, the right blah 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 blah. No, that's not true. Look at Danny DeVito. The man's like 4 feet nothing, ugly as hell, and he's a multi-billionaire and has made millions in movies in Hollywood. Has made a career, because what did he do? He said, I'm not going to be the romantic lead. I'm not going to be the action hero. I will be the comedy relief. I will be the sidekick. And it has worked for him. Know your strengths. Work on those. Know your weaknesses so you can control them and they don't overtake your strong points. Exactly. His wife, Rhea Perlman, same thing. She took her hair and her little short, sassy attitude, and she took it to the bank. There's thousands of actors that, if you look at them, they've taken their quirky, different looks and made millions with them. Ronnie Dangerfield, Phyllis Diller, Melissa McCarthy, all these people that say, you know what, this is the way I am. I'm going to make it work for me.
Yeah, I fall off my, how can you say, fall? I don't know. I'm kind of have a brain fart right now. Like I've fallen, and I got to figure out how to get back up.
You've fallen because you've put yourself there, because you could tell when all you're focusing on is other people's successes, and then you get mad when those same people aren't working on your success. The only person that needs to work on their success is you, because at the end of the day, I promote a lot of people I don't expect anything from them. I do that out of the goodness of my heart because I get pleasure out of seeing people succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that's all I do. I don't spend 10 hours, 20 hours a day building their success. I spend a few minutes here and there where I can, but the majority of my time goes into building me, making sure I'm successful, including making time to be healthy, making time to do the things that make me happy. And it doesn't have to be what makes other people happy. It's what makes me happy. Exactly.
You gotta come on my show more often. No, seriously, you gotta kick my butt. I know it's an applause.
Girl, you have no idea. I heard Crosby, and I'm listening to him. I'm like, this man. And it was funny because I was exhausted. I've had 3 long weeks. Because, you know, with the working at the museum and getting the car show going, and I mean, I've been literally running on not even adrenaline, just excitement because of what I was doing. So it's one of those where I'm like, okay, the show's over on Saturday, and then I can crash. I can't because I'm too excited about my life right now. I don't have time to rest. And I was at that point today where I've been running ragged all day, and I sat down for 2 seconds because I was so tired. And then Crosby started talking, and I'm like, all right, I'm ready to conquer the world again. Let's go. Where's the world at? Because I want to conquer it. The man has a gift. What can I tell you? Crosby, if you're still listening, my brother, you got a gift to motivate people.
I don't know if he is, but see, this is why I call us like fellow brothers, because Crosby inspires me so much.
He
really
does.
But
you know why
like,
he inspires us, Shelley? Because he's not all talk. You can have someone that sits there and talks and talks and talks and has never done a dang thing in their life. But you and I remember Crosby back in 2007 and 2008 and 2009 through all that struggle when all of these projects were, you know him even further than that going back, when all of these projects were just a thought in his head, a piece of paper on his desk, a file on his computer. And to see where it is now, it's motivating. So when he opens his mouth, I'm going to listen. Because one of the things that I've learned, and I remember saying this to you a couple of times, is find someone that has already done what you want to do. Pick their brain. Listen to them. Don't talk at them. Listen to them. I'm not going to listen to Bobby on the corner or, you know, Cindy on the block, because I don't want to do that. I'm not going to go talk to a fireman for him to help me do what I want to do. Love firemen, have my utmost respect for them. I know I'm a coward when it comes to that. There's no way in heck I'm running into a burning building unless maybe one of my grandkids or one of my kids are in there. Other than that, I admire firemen completely, but I can't pick their brain because I don't want to be a fireman. I want to be around people like Crosby where I can sit down and pick his brain and say, how did you do this? How did you do that? What's the best thing, the best way to do that? Like this kid Seth that I was talking about, he's amazing. I pick his brain all the time because with the fact that he's 23 years old and there's still a lot of maturing that needs to happen because it's natural, at 23 you're like, wow, this kid is on point. He films, he does the filming and then he does the writing, he does the editing, he does the everything, the promotion, raising funds, he does it. He uses no excuses. He does it all himself. And he's smart enough to surround himself with people that are better and more gifted than him in a lot of other areas. And that's what we need to do.
Oh, sweet. I think I got someone calling in. Hold on for a second, Charlie. Hold on 1 second. Hello, caller.
Hey,
you're on the air.
Hello,
who's this?
How you doing? Hey, this is
doing
Mike.
Doing good. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I just wanted to let you know. Doing good. I was listening to the show, and I was in the chat room, but I just love the preaching, because tonight especially I really needed it, you know, and not preaching, but you know how you just said, you know, giving up. And I love the Danny DeVito comment, you know, and you know, I've been trying to, you know, write a book and start a website and things like that. And I just kind of sometimes give up on it, you know, and then I'm, you know, I go back to it and I fiddle with it a little bit, you know, and you know, so it's kind of like encouraging to hear that tonight, you know, And so I needed it, you know, and it kind of just kind of put wind in my sails, you know, just to hear that tonight.
That's awesome. Mike, one thing I have to tell you is just write. Every day, just write. I don't care if it's for 5 minutes, 5 hours. You sit yourself down in front of your computer, your pad of paper, however you're doing it, and you write. Don't worry if it's any good. Don't worry if it makes sense. Continue to write, and eventually you're going to get from point A to point B, and you're going to have a book. It might need editing. It might need to be made longer, shorter. It doesn't matter. The point is you're going to be in that 5 percentile that actually wrote a book. But it's a matter
See,
of just saying,
is
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm the last guy in the world that you would expect a book. You know, I didn't finish high school, and I'm
doesn't
the guy
matter.
That was, you know,
doesn't
smoking,
matter. Don't
want to
hear it. Doesn't
and,
matter.
You know,
doesn't matter.
No, no. Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Those are the lies that the world sold you.
Yeah.
Those are the lies. Let me give you an example. When you think of Einstein, what do you think of? One of the smartest men around. Exactly.
Right.
Another, I'll give you a better example. Thomas Edison. What does Thomas Edison mean to you?
Inventor.
Exactly. Thomas Edison only went to third grade. His mother was told when he was in third grade that he was so dumb not to even bother sending him to school anymore because there was nothing they could do for him in third grade. And his mom said to the teacher, "Watch me." So he was homeschooled. So technically you're talking about someone that had a third grade education, formal education. Everything he did was already in his brain because he thought differently than the rest of the world. So it doesn't matter.
Okay.
You, it doesn't matter because let me tell you something. Some of the smartest, most well-read, well-rounded people never set a foot inside a high school, never set foot inside a college because you only absorb as much from these institutions as you want to. And it's the same thing with life. And for you, like I'm listening to you talking, you don't sound to me like you're ignorant or unread or not well spoken. So there's no reason why you can't write that book. And,
yeah.
And you know what? Worst case scenario, you'll have a book that you finish that you can say, I wrote a book. Not too many people can say that.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that a lot of times, you know, like I especially in my life, it just seems like I let the past beat me down.
Don't
know,
ever let the past
let
beat
you
down.
Let that always creep up.
It
yeah.
does creep up. It will creep up. And if Shelly and I had a couple hours to talk to you, trust me, we have a past that can catch up with us. See, she's laughing.
Yeah.
You know, every time that happens to me, and I'll tell you a real quick story, I'm only 5'4". I wasn't very athletic growing up. I was constantly told how uncouth and unathletic and uncoordinated and all this I was. And there is a man called John Bingham. They nicknamed him the Penguin. He's a runner in his mind.
Okay.
That's what he says. I'm a runner. But when he started running, he says he was 58 inches around and 58 inches tall. He's very heavy set. He said the first time I ran 10 feet and almost died. But he said, but those were 10 feet more than I had ever run in my life. That made me a runner. He said, and then he gave himself the mindset of, I don't have to be the first one next to the Kenyans winning the marathon. He's like, I can waddle. His motto is waddle on. He's like, it's all a matter of finishing. And he gave the analogy one time of, he said that he did a half marathon, which is the first time he did that after he'd been running for a while. And he said when he was about a half a mile or a mile away, he almost stopped. He said, I could hear the voices of every person that had ever told me everything that was wrong with me and why I couldn't do what I was doing at that particular time. He said, and I started walking and I started running. He's like, and when I crossed the finish line, he's like, I was in tears because I had left everything behind me. And I had a similar experience because of the fact that I could relate to him. I knew how it felt to be constantly told that you weren't good enough, you weren't smart enough, you weren't tall enough, pretty enough, whatever. And I
right.
had a similar experience where I remember doing my first half marathon and just crossing that finish line. And my husband was funny because he's looking at me and I was just bawling. Like I had tears coming down my eyes, like incredible. And he's looking at me like, oh my God, are you in pain? What's wrong? And the only words that came out of my mouth was, I didn't let them beat me. So every time you go to write and you hear all those voices, you just got to remind yourself, you're not going to beat me. You're the liars. I know what I can do. I know what is in me. And you got to let it out. Because you know what, Mike? The same way you say Shelley and I motivated you today, I will bet my bottom dollar that when you write that book and you share your story, there's going to be thousands of people that are going to say, you motivated me. I needed to hear this. Mm-hmm. It's always that way. That's how it is. Someone out there, Mike, is waiting to read your story, listen to the tale behind it, and be motivated to do something that will motivate someone else. That's how it works.
Okay.
Don't ever let your voice be silenced.
It isn't, you know, and but the what kind of gets me is, like, I have had one of those whacked out lives that even when I read it back, it hurts my heart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it breaks my own heart. And so when I write it, I don't want it to feel sorry for me. I want to tell the story, but I want it to be in, I don't know the right way to say it. I felt sorry for me my whole life. And so I don't, I don't ever want somebody else to say they feel sorry for me, because do you know what I'm saying? Don't tell me that. I'd rather you tell me something, you know what I mean? Like F off or do you know what I mean? Tell me something else. Don't tell me that.
So, right, no, and you know what it is, Mike? This is the way it goes. You write the story. You have to write the story the first time.
I have to, for
everybody
me.
Knows
and you know
that
why? Because I've kept my mouth closed my whole life, and I can't do it anymore.
Exactly.
I can't do it anymore.
Exactly. So what I'm saying to you is every writer has 2, 3, 4 drafts before you get that final edit. Your first draft is going to need to come out the way it's going to come out, whether it's because there's pity in there or sorrow or anger or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's the fact that you need to write that story. And trust me, when you write that story, it's going to be therapeutic. And then once you finish it, you give it a couple of days, and then you come back and look at it with fresh eyes, and that's when the healing is complete, because now you're like, oh, I can take this out. I can take this out. Let me put this in. Or this story was this part of my life was really bad. Let me tie it into a positive thing that can come out of it.
Okay.
Because, like, one of the examples that I've learned is I remember one time saying, oh, I wish, and Shelley can relate, I wish I had the perfect mom, I wish I had a dad, blah, 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 blah. And I remember venting to my husband one time, and he looked at me, he said, if you had had all of that, what empathy would you have had for my kids, and why would you want to be their stepmom? Or why would you have treated them the way you would have liked to have been treated by all these people that were mean to you?
Right.
So the main thing I want you to know, Mike, is that every horrible thing you went through, if it's kept silenced, then you went through it for nothing. But if you take that story and you tell it and you bring positivity to it and let other people know, I went through all these horrible things, I'm still standing, I'm still here, I wrote this book, I'm sharing my story, you can too. Then they don't win. They don't silence you anymore. You find your voice, you find your freedom, and you're finally able to let it go. And there won't be any pity. No one's going to feel sorry for you. People are going to look at you and going, that guy is strong. That guy is amazing. That guy is my role model.
Because I don't want to be that little kid hiding in the closet anymore. I'm 50 years old, and I still feel like that. And I don't want to be that kid anymore.
No. And you're not going to not be that kid until you take power for yourself. You got to empower yourself by telling that story. And that's what's important. Because I know where you've been in that sense, because I remember one time doing this exercise where basically I walked up to my little self and hugged her and said, you're going to be fine, and I'm going to protect you from now on, and you're never going to be that person again. And that's why it's important to not let them win. And like I said, I don't care if you think it's gibberish. Just keep writing. Just keep writing. Get it all out. Get it from beginning to end, and you have your middle, and then that's when you can go back. Because that's going to be so therapeutic to you, because your story is finally going to be told.
Yeah, I just have a quick question, because we only have a few minutes left here. Mike, if you ever want to think of being a guest on my show, I don't know if there's a way you can get in contact with me. You're always welcome to be a guest. I'm always looking for very interesting. I'm a very respectful host. And if you want to know more, I mean, do you have a Facebook page or anything I can contact you?
You know, I've been meaning to have my sons help me. I'm not a technological person. You know what I mean? I never had that. You know what I mean? Cell phones and all that, you know, just came, you know,
yes.
iPhones. And I used
yes.
to make fun of people with all those things. You know what I mean? Like, look at this guy, you know.
Yeah,
and now
no.
I just got an iPhone, you know, and now I'm kind of addicted to it. So everybody's making fun of me with one of these things, you know.
That's
and,
awesome, though.
So
no, even if you have just an email, definitely contact Shelly. Because one of the things is the premise of our shows is ordinary people with extraordinary stories. And I have a feeling, Mike, that when you share your story with Shelly or with myself, it's going to make you realize how strong you really are.
I hope to call you back. I mean, I'm going to contact you anyways, but
mm-hmm.
I hope to call you back in the next couple of months and say, I'm done, and I'm going to send you the 15 chapters or whatever, and I want you to read this.
I will be the first person in line to get an autographed copy of your book. And trust me, we will promote it. We will totally promote it because that's what we're about. We are about helping each other up, lifting each other up. And one of the things that I've learned in life, it's not about pushing people down. It's about helping them up. And I firmly believe mm-hmm. that there's a reason why you called. You need to write that book, Mike. All I can say is you write that book.
Yep.
You write that book and there's going to be a shift in your life that's going to blow your mind. Because I was there, my shift probably happened in my early 40s when I finally said, you know, I'm a grown woman. I can do whatever the heck I want. I am not having these little voices tell me anymore, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're too old, you're too, no. So you have
yeah.
to contact Shelly, get her your contact information, and we're going to have you on the show before you write the book, and then we're going to
yeah,
have you on the show
definitely.
After you write the book.
I will.
Yeah,
you know
seriously,
what? I'll start one tomorrow. Have them help me. I'll start one tomorrow and contact you sometime tomorrow with it.
Absolutely, do that. You contact us, and then we'll make sure we'll get you started.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Definitely. All right, Mike. Thank you, and you have a good night.
You too. Bye bye now.
Bye bye. Bye bye. Hey, Charlie. Thank you for calling in. It's always been great talking with you, and
it's
I have you. Yeah, I know it was unexpected the way the show happened tonight. I'm like, well, this was great. You had to kick my butt in gear, and I appreciate
Girl,
that.
Girl, I was like, oh, what a success. I'm like, you're doing that show. I don't care what happened. You got kicked out. You got Crosby. No, heck no, you're not kicking him out.
I'm like, oh, no, technical difficulties. No, because I'm going to be upgraded. I got upgraded system now. I got to get that all functioning. And I'm getting an iPhone, and I am going to shoot that film. I'm getting an iPhone.
Oh, girl,
definitely,
you better shoot that film because I'm ready to be an extra that I can get run over in the alley.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do it. So, you know, thanks for calling in. And watch.
Oh, my pleasure.
After I get off the show, I'm going to put on my status on Facebook, I'm getting an iPhone. So that's how serious I am.
Thank you for having me, Shelly. It was fun talking to you.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later, Charlie. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God, it's such a blessing to have people. It's like, you know, I need a little pick-me-up, and it was like, it's such a pleasure. A woman that inspires me so much is Charlie Girl. I'm just happy, and thank you, Crosby, for calling in. And anybody out there, you know, as I always say in my show, anybody that has a dream, you're as good as anybody else, and believe me, sometimes myself, I need pick-me-ups, and that's why I have certain people in my life, and it's always an honor to have great people on my show that are the dreamers and the doers because they inspire me to do what I want to do in my life. So, everyone, thank you so much for my guests, for my callers, for my supporters, and I'll be getting more guests on the show. And I am ending a show tonight, Warrior Wednesdays on the Shelly Knows Jeff Show, with Superman. His song is blowing up like you will not believe it. It's called Why, and this song is thousands and thousands of people. It's just been blowing up, and I'm hoping to get him on my show. He's been very busy, so I am ending the show here. Everyone have a good night, and here's Why by Superman.
the one off a winner. Are you one off a winner? You what? Are you one off a winner? Are you one off a winner? You what? Are you one off a winner? Are you one off a winner? You what? Are you one off a winner? Are you one off a winner? You what? Are you one off a winner? Are you one off a winner? You what? Are you one off a winner?
Why is one man rich and another man poor? Why we ain't satisfied? Why we gotta have more? Why your suicide rates on the rent so high? Why I tell you the truth, but you say don't lie? Why is being a good father at an all-time low? Why is it acceptable? Yo, why? I don't know. Why she blame him and he blame her? It's useless. Ask yourself this question. Why you making excuses? Why do parents gotta bury their kids? Why we text and drive, not caring how scary it is? Why it's so hard to forgive and leave the past behind? And if you did, then that's divine. Why don't you help your brother when you see him fall? Why do we act like God don't see it all? Why do we call them black, them white, them Asians, and use labels? Now that's racism.
I don't want no winner. Are you one off a winner? You what? Are you one off a winner?
Why?
Are you one off a winner? You what? Are you one off a winner?
Why?
Are you one off a winner? You what? Are you one off a winner?
Why?
Are you one off a winner? You what?
Why are innocent people locked up for life while some people can't say nothing nice? Why do we always got a question with all of the means? And why won't you follow your dreams? Why? The night when you took my dad, why'd you let me see my grandpa cry? And tell me why, and why do you choose to hide, even though you was born to fly? And tell me why, and why don't we turn from all the hate? And why don't we learn from all the mistakes? Why do I keep on wrecking these fat beats and teachers don't make more than professional athletes? And why?
Are you one of a winner? Are you one of a winner? Yo, what?